Lip-smacking good. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Lip-smacking Good, where the motto of this show is, if you ain't smacking your lips, it ain't good. I thank you for all our premium customers that are paying to hear this. I think this one is going to be a good one for you. I've been excited about getting this person on. His name is Matthew Burton. And we was joking. His name sounds like a delicious pale ale. I think it would be like a light crisp, you know, nothing dark. What do you think?
I think that sounds terrific. And if I start a microbrew, I will definitely name it after myself. And, you know, the Northwest is like microbrew heaven, so I would not be able to compete. My beer would be terrible, but the name would be good.
Yes, you know what? I would pitch it to Budweiser, somebody. Just to see, you know, if they would pay for the rights, then you could literally be famous. I mean, because you're already famous, but it's one of those things where you could be to the next level because you have not officially made it until you had a beer named after you.
Exactly. So if they would just send me a check and a case of beer and I don't have to do anything, that sounds like a good job.
Yes, it does. It's not the best jobs in the world.
But yeah, pretty much.
I know. Y'all, I'm so excited about I guess does a podcast called Spilled Milk Podcast. And I found them on Stitcher. I was hunting around for people to be on the show, and I looked and I said, Spilled Milk. This sounds interesting. I was like, well, I like milk. I like drinking milk. I hope it's more than just people crying over spilled milk. Wasn't really sure. And I was pleasantly surprised. I really was. Sir, could you introduce yourself to our audience for those people that are hearing your voice for the first time?
Yeah, so I'm Matthew Amster Burton, and I'm a food writer in Seattle, and I'm author of a couple of books, and I co-host the Spilled Milk podcast with my friend and fellow food writer and author, Molly Weisenberg.
Yes, and the thing that I really love about you, because I kind of did my homework on you, so I'm probably going to give you facts that you probably already know. So I want my people who are hearing you for the first time and the Black Guy Who Tips Nation to know as much as they can about you, because I want them to bombard you with emails and voicemails and just say, hey, we've heard you over here. So I want everybody to know he's a writer in Seattle. He was featured on Best Food Writing 2003, 4, 6, 7, and 9. And what happened to 5 and 8? Did you just be like, I give that to somebody else these years?
I think I slept through those years or something.
Because I was like, wait a minute, they skip. I was like, oh, he wanted to give somebody else a chance.
That's right. I figured I'd just hang back, you know, let the other team pitch in for a while. No, I think probably I just didn't write anything very good those years.
And your favorite food is pad thai. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
It is. It's the Thai noodle stir fry. I've been eating it every week, sometimes more than once a week in Seattle for at least the last 15 years. And I'm addicted.
What is pad thai? Because I'm from the South and I'm going, I have no idea what that is.
I'll bet you can get it somewhere near you, because there's a lot of Thai restaurants. People come from Thailand, they tend to open a restaurant.
Yeah,
and
yes.
So it's a rice noodle stir fry, so like the flat rice noodles, they got some good chew to them. It's got fish sauce, tamarind paste, which is that really tart tropical fruit, and sometimes they put a little ketchup in there for color, and then like peanuts and scallions and garlic and sometimes shrimp or chicken.
Ooh.
And you can make it spicy or not spicy. It's really addictive stuff.
That sounds delicious. See, you're already making me hungry. We haven't even got to the meat of the program yet. That sounds delicious. And you have a daughter. Her name is...
I do.
Her name is Iris, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
It is Iris, and she's 9.
Oh, and she's sweet. You said her favorite foods is pizza and ice cream.
Pretty much. And she has added, she loves Chinese dumplings, pot stickers.
Yes.
So that's probably her other favorite these days.
A girl after my own heart. Pan fried, steamed. I don't even care. She likes them pan fried. I do steamed too, because you know, when you get older, you have to be more concerned about cholesterol. That's one thing about being
sure.
older. But I do. I love pot stickers. And when I was looking on your site, you have quotes by her.
I do. Yeah. That was kind of, I started, my blog, Roots and Grubs, which I don't post on very much anymore, but I started it when Iris was one and, just wanted to like write down so I'd remember the funny things that she would say when she was a baby. And, so that was probably, I don't think anyone came to the blog to hear what I had to say. They came to hear what Iris had to say.
Yes. Because one of them, which caught my eye, you were saying that y'all were out eating and she had just ate some tempura green beans.
Right.
And, you were saying after dinner, you had to drag her out of the shower because she was reading a book. And, somebody said books are evil. And she said, let me be sure I quote this right. Books are evil. Matthew says, yeah, Iris, from now on, no more books or video games. And she says, no, like most kids do, you know, I'm just pretending. And Matthew said,
that's pretty much what it sounded like.
Yes. For most kids, that's the universal language of no. It's not no. It has to drag on. And if they do it right, you get the single Indian tear.
Yes.
If it's sincere, exactly. And so after she protests, that's her protesting. Matthew says, no more, salads or burgers. And she said, that's okay. I don't like salads. And he said, but you just had green beans though. You ate some today. And she says, yeah, but it was crunchy, had a crunchy outfit. And I agree. The outfits are beautiful. I like mine to have a nice little tux on it with a nice tie to match and the top hat, but they're still delicious.
People don't wear enough crunchy outfits.
Yes. Yeah. See, in real life, I couldn't wear a crunchy outfit because by the time I get to my destination, I would have any clothes on. My outfit was just too crunchy. I kept dipping it in ketchup and barbecue sauce, and I just didn't make it.
Yeah, you just take a bite off here and there, and then whoops, wardrobe malfunction.
Yep.
Exactly.
Whole thing malfunction. Yes. And I do have a question for you, sir. Are you a comedian? I know you're a writer, but I was just wondering, are you a comedian? Because I listen to the podcast and it's they average about, you know, 20, 25 minutes, you know, some shorter, some longer, but it's so much fun to hear you guys interact. I wonder, I see a comedian because he would be a wonderful comedian.
Oh, thank you so much. I have done stand-up comedy, in the past, kind of the distant past. I wasn't very good at it, but I usually enjoyed it. A couple times I really bombed like any stand-up, and that's just the most miserable experience.
Oh, so you decided that's not for you.
Yeah, I just, you know, I was going up on stage like before and after people who, you know, it was their job and they were really good at it. And I was, just a hobbyist who, told a lot of terrible jokes. And so I figured if I sat down, in front of a microphone at home with a friend who I knew we could be funny together. And then later I could edit out the unfunny parts. That was more my speed.
What prompted you to even start writing about food?
I started writing about food because I was totally burning out on my job, which was in technology. I was a computer guy in the late 90s when you could literally just like fall over and fall into a computer job. And so I was working these internet startup jobs in New York. You know, they would pay you like real money for doing very little work because everyone thought they were going to get rich on the internet. Oh. I did not get rich on the internet, but I used all those paychecks to like go out to eat in New York and eat like, you know, at nice restaurants and at great, hole in the wall restaurants. And my wife and I were watching, Food Network all the time. And it was really good back then. And, then we moved from New York, back to Seattle and I was like, you know, I'm tired of this computer stuff and there aren't so many jobs anymore. I want to be a food writer. And she said, you know, knock yourself out. And, after a few months of like posting stuff on my own website, I got, hired to write, reviews for the Seattle Times and I was making $100 a month.
Are you for real?
$100 a month for one review a month. That was pretty much what my food writing income was like for several years. My wife has always been my best patron.
Yes, you know, just like for us, we're recording on part of the content for our premium because my husband actually lost his job. And this is the second time he's been fired, like, close or around my birthday. The first time he got fired was actually on my birthday. And this time he got fired was, like, a few days before my birthday. And I looked at him. I was like, well, they couldn't wait for my birthday since that's been the tradition. You know, let's keep the tradition alive. And it's one of those things.
That is really depressing.
You know, and it's one of those things where you kind of have to poke fun at it, because we've been doing this for about 3 years now. And we love doing it and we enjoy doing it. We've always talked about doing it full time, and so now he can literally do it full time. So I understand your wife. I'm like, go baby, go, whatever your dream, I'll support you as long as you don't end up in jail. I'm behind you 100%.
Yeah, I hope I don't say anything on this podcast or any other that lands me in jail, but that would be an exciting story if that happened.
Yes, you would have another story to tell on the podcast with Molly, and I think she'll take the story with stride. Calling,
but
from,
would she bail me out? Is the question.
That's the question.
I don't know if we're close enough for that.
And I don't know if you could call Skype 1-800 collect from the jail.
that's a good point.
You know, that's about the only way you could reach her. So hopefully she had your back like that. I can't promise you, though. Or, you know, you call, she might be saying, hey, you know the motto of the show? Cried over spilt milk.
That's right. You can't have any.
Yeah, yes. And something else I want to say about you. You've written two books.
I have, yes.
The first book is called Hungry Monkey. Where did you get that title from?
It was a nickname that I gave Iris, my daughter, when she was a baby and just wanted to nurse all the time, nonstop. You know, I would say, like, aren't you a hungry monkey today? And she wouldn't say anything because she was a baby. So when I pitched my book and sold a book about, you know, raising a kid as a food loving person and, how to do that without, getting stuck eating frozen chicken nuggets three meals a day.
Yes.
Not that there's anything wrong with those. They're pretty good. So I, you know, was searching around for titles, and I'm not very good with titles in general. And so I thought, how about Hungry Monkey? It's easy to say. It's easy to remember. You know, it's what I used to call her and occasionally still do. And I think it worked out really well.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Thanks.
And you got another book that's scheduled to come out soon. And
it is out.
Oh, it is out. Okay. Cause when I went, it was like scheduled to come out soon. I was like, I wonder, is it out or not? So, okay. So it is already out, and it's called Pretty Number One.
Pretty Good Number One. And that book is about, last July, actually, like, a year ago, like, when we're recording this, we lived in a tiny apartment in the middle of Tokyo for a month and, you know, found the food there to be pretty much the greatest thing ever and cheap too. You know, you hear that Tokyo is really expensive. It's really not an expensive place to eat. There's all kinds of great cheap food. And, you know, I was just writing and writing, and I thought, you know, there could be a book in this. And it took a while to figure out how to make it into a book. It finally came together. You know, it's all about our food adventures in Tokyo and what living in Tokyo is like and what eating there is like. You know, if you haven't been to Tokyo or haven't been to Japan, I guarantee there are things in this book that will make you say, what? That can't be right. But it's true.
What were your experiences like in Japan as far as the eating scene?
So eating in Japan is unusual in a couple different ways compared to anywhere you might have been in the U.S., or even like, you know, other places in the world. And the two things that are special about it are there's this incredible density of great tiny restaurants. So you walk down any block in Tokyo and you'll go past a ramen noodle restaurant and an udon noodle restaurant and a fried chicken restaurant and a sushi restaurant and a tavern that serves, you know, sake and beer and all kinds of great small plates. And then you'll walk down the next block and you'll see them, you know, more restaurants. You know, even compared to New York, Tokyo has an unbelievable amount of restaurants, and they're pretty much all good, and they're pretty much all Japanese. So unlike New York, you know, where you walk past like a Venezuelan restaurant and a Caribbean restaurant,
yes,
and a Spanish restaurant, in Tokyo, you know, it's one kind of Japanese restaurant and another kind of Japanese restaurant and a third kind of Japanese restaurant and maybe a Chinese restaurant. You know, people love to eat in Japan, and they love their own Japanese food above all else. And luckily I love it too. So I found it to be just heavenly.
What is there like? Is that like their street food? Because like, I know street food here in our country and street food over there is not the same.
there is not a whole lot of street food in Japan, and I, you know, except in some regions and at like street festivals.
Okay.
So, one thing we did was we went to this huge fireworks show that they do every year at the end of July. And you kind of stake out your little spot, on the river, and it's mostly like 20 somethings drinking beer in the park. And so, you know, we found our little spot, and, there's these food stands selling, yakisoba noodles and like savory pancakes and shave ice. Shave ice is really popular in Japan in the summer. What? And it's, kind of like Hawaiian shave ice.
Okay.
Like a snow cone.
Okay.
You know, just so much food everywhere. I loved it so much.
That for somebody like me, that actually sounds really good. And in their sake, do they have different sake over there than we get in the States?
You can get good sake in the States. It's cheaper, and there's more of it and more different kinds in Japan.
Okay.
And so, you know, you go to a restaurant and you can get, you know, you don't have to settle for, that, like mass market, like stuff that tastes like lighter fluid sake.
Yes.
You can get like good sake and, you know, get a nice glass of it for like $4.
Cool. Me and my husband got this drink where we actually take a shot, a little shot glass of sake, and drop it in eggnog.
Wow.
And
that sounds good, and it sounds dangerous.
And most of the time people go, ew, because they think, you know, eggnog and curling, but the curling of the milk in it. But when you do it, it's so sweet. It's like candy.
No, it sounds good.
And it's hard to explain to people. And it's delicious, because the first time we tried it, I looked at him, he looked at me, and we was like, oh, I want another one. So every time it gets around the time of the year for eggnog, and that was my first time even trying eggnog, because I've heard of eggnog, but my family didn't really drink eggnog or have spiced eggnog, anything like that. So for me, it was one of those things where, A, I fell in love with eggnog, and B, it was something else I could do with sake.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. Thinking about it, I am not sure if I've ever had real eggnog. I think I may have only had like the non-alcoholic kind from the supermarket.
Yeah.
That's, you know, incredibly thick and like glops out of the carton into your glass, and you drink half a glass. You're like, whoa.
Yeah, like what is, and I guess for me, that's how I've always seen it. And so I was looking like, I don't know about this, but we actually get we counting our calories per se. So we don't get the full-fledged eggnog. We get the light eggnog. But, you know, by the time you throw the alcohol in it, we've probably back to even, but we don't care.
No, that sounds good. I'm going to next time it's eggnog season, I will definitely give that a try.
And it is delicious. It's like candy. It's really, really good. Most people turn their noses up, but you got to try it. Don't turn your nose up till you give it a try. And
no, I feel like there's a lot of interesting ingredients and interesting combinations going on in drinks right now.
Yes.
I got the other day I tried a ginger ale with cucumber, and I was kind of skeptical, but it was really refreshing and really good.
Ooh, was it on ice or rocks? Like,
yeah, it was on the rocks.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Was it sweet and tangy, all sugary, or?
It was sweet and tangy. It's, this woman who makes ginger ale locally here in Seattle, and is getting pretty successful at it. And she uses a ton of ginger and, lemon juice. So it's really tart and not too sweet. And then, she'll blend in other flavors, like the cucumber or like strawberry. She does a rhubarb one in the spring. That's really good. It's great.
Ooh, that sounds scrumptious. And something I wanted to say, I listened to the last episode that you guys did, a spilled milk. And I have a question. Y'all was talking about one of my favorite things, croissants or croissants.
Oh, yes.
Or however you, I'm down south, so I pronounce it croissants, you know.
Oh yeah. No, that's how I pronounce
okay.
it.
Okay.
We were joking about pronouncing it all French, but, joking.
It's like croissants, you know, I was
croissants.
Like, yeah, you know, get, and that actually sound like a hard piece of bread when you be like croissants. You be like, I don't know if I want that. That sound like that might break a tooth or two. So, I heard you guys talking about it, and I disagree with Molly, because I like croissants in a sandwich. Bacon, egg, and cheese, ham, egg, and cheese, you know.
It was Molly who was picking on, and she's not here to defend herself, but I said I was fine with the croissant sandwich, or the croissant sandwich.
Yes.
And she was the one who was saying, no, that's not really what you're supposed to do with a croissant. I say, you know, if it tastes good, slice it in half, put whatever you want on there.
Yeah, okay. See, well,
I'm with you.
We're in agreement. I could do bacon in it. I could do sausage in it. Like, and the thing about it is that, cause I heard you guys describing the croissant and it made me want a croissant. Because just the way you guys were, you know, describing it. And I like my croissants light and airy.
Yeah.
The small ones. Like when I do the small ones, I like them light. I like them airy. I like them, when you bite, you get a clean bite and it doesn't like separate. Now, when it comes to the sandwiches, I like them a little harder, you know, because you actually gotta have a sandwich for them. And I also want to know, how do you guys eat? Cause I heard you crunching and munching on them and I was like, gosh, they do this so well. Because see, if I was eating something like, I'm trying to tell y'all over here, why you hear me sucking my fingers the whole time.
No, you say that, but we routinely get like complaints and reviews of people saying, you know, I tried to listen to this show, but it was just like people making slurping and crunching noises for 15 minutes and I had to turn it off.
And you know what? Don't stop it. I love it. I love it because
we're not going to stop.
Oh, thank you. Because my whole time I was like, yeah, how does it taste? And if I get enough, and if I get enough, ooh, it's airier, ooh, it's lighter, ooh, it's gooey. And I'm like, yes, it's like, that's what a food critic is supposed to do. Tell me what it tastes like.
Yeah, no, we love to eat on the show because otherwise it's like, you know, let's talk about this thing that we ate, you know, 15 minutes ago before we started. And what's the fun in that?
Yes, you get a pure reaction, like a real pure reaction. And then just the way you describe it. And I'm becoming more educated about croissants because I never know you could get that detail about croissants and about the history of croissants and where they came from.
We will geek out about any food and go into way too much detail about it.
No, I love it because you know what? Most of my food, I have no idea where it comes from unless I look at the back of it and it's telling me it's from Japan or Mexico or in the United States. Other than that, most of my food, and I know that's an American thing. It's just good to me. Like where it came from and the history of it, I just don't know. So it's cool when you get like those background information about what you're consuming.
Yeah. And honestly, we rely on Wikipedia a lot for that.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's what it's there for. A question. Do you cook, sir?
I do. I cook dinner for my family pretty much every night. I really enjoy it. I enjoy it because I like the process. I feel like it's, you know, an area of my life where I can sort of be in control when there's a lot of areas of your life where, you know, stuff kind of happens to you. And I like it because, you know, I get a little break and like get to go into my own world before dinner and then, you know, sit down with the family and enjoy, hopefully, if I did well.
What is your favorite meal to cook?
Oh, that's a good question. I really love to stir fry. That's probably my favorite thing to do. So, you know, I like anything served over a bowl of rice. And so I'll stir fry chicken, I'll stir fry shrimp, I'll pretty much stir fry any ingredient you give me. And I also like to make pizza.
Ooh, do you make it from scratch, like your own dough and everything?
I do, yeah. So I'll make like a few balls of dough and put them in the freezer. So when I want some pizza, I can take the dough out of the freezer a few hours ahead, turn on the oven and preheat the pizza stone. And, you know, the whole thing comes together pretty easy.
Ooh, and when you were talking about wok, I just purchased my first wok for the very first time. Yes, so I'm a part of the wok crew per se, and this wok you can actually, I don't have any, we don't use like gas, so it's one you can like put on the eye of a stove. And one thing I've learned is that it doesn't take a lot of heat for it to get hot.
Yes, because it's so like, it's thin and it conducts heat really well. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like a learning curve there. And so then I had to learn about the special type of oils that you had to use and things like that. And the thing I love about the wok, it's like a one meal. Man, I have a good time. I chop it and I put it in their meat, chop it, put it in their vegetables, chop them, put them in there too. You know, it's one of those things where like, I like to take, red peppers and green peppers. Sometimes I take jalapeno peppers. I take banana peppers and mushrooms and onions. And I also like to take roasted red peppers, which gives anything an awesome flavor to it. And I toss them in there and I cook that up with my meat. And then if I get really, really lazy, I boil the noodles separately and toss the noodles in there with the sauce.
Oh, sure.
So when I'm finished, I got like, cause I'm a one meal chick where everything is like one meal. That way you get all the fruits and vegetables and everything in this one setting. versus cooking
everything. I totally agree. I used to cook separate dishes more often before my daughter was born. And, you know, when you have a baby in the house, like, you just don't have the time or energy to do that kind of thing anymore. And, you know, after she, you know, now she's old enough that I could spend more time in the kitchen if I want. And, you know, I just got so into doing the one pot meal thing that I'm with you. I prefer it now.
Well, at least I'm not alone. Woohoo!
No.
What's the most unique thing you've ever eaten before?
Oh boy. When we were in Japan last year, we went to this restaurant that only serves eel, and they serve every part of the eel. So it's you know, like one of those nose to tail pork restaurants, but it's an eel.
Oh.
And so we got the combo meal, and it's all on skewers, you know, grilled over charcoal. So we got eel meat and smoked eel and eel liver and eel belly.
Oh.
And eel guts. And then possibly my favorite part was, they fry and salt the eel backbone, and it's like potato chips.
Wow.
You know, that it was, you know, like nothing I've ever eaten before. And, I enjoyed all of it, and I would go back there anytime.
Wow. Like my mama said, cause we down south, and my mama said about pigs from the rooter to the tooter. I still don't know what that means, but that's a phrase she tells me whenever they cook the whole pig.
Yep. That's what they did with the eel at this restaurant.
Okay.
Exactly the same idea.
Okay. So they cooked everything. Okay. So,
everything.
So and that actually sounds delicious.
Yeah, you know, and they brush it with soy sauce, and you know, it's got there's a savory smoke coming out of it. It's, you know, it's kind of like a barbecue restaurant because the smoke permeates the whole place, and it's a little casual place. But you know, they really sweat over the food, and it's just delicious.
That sounds scrumptious. What, since you're out in Seattle, what food festival are you looking forward to, or has it already passed? You know, because we're kind of in the middle of that season when they do the food festivals.
Yeah, and we do have some food festivals in Seattle. I'm disappointed that they no longer do what they did until I think last year was they did this big cheese festival at Pike Place Market, our big public market downtown, and you could taste cheese from all over the Northwest. I think it got like too successful for its own good, and they're not doing that anymore. They do the Bite of Seattle, where a whole bunch of restaurants set up at Seattle Center, which is like this big plaza, and can go around to the different booths and try 16 different things over the course of the day. That's a lot of fun.
Wow. And at the cheese, do they do wine too? Because you can't have cheese without wine.
Oh, yes. Yes, okay. They did. And they're more and more they're doing food truck festivals. So, just in the last few years, food trucks have become really popular in Seattle. And so they'll like, you know, pull a few, of the top food trucks in town, and invite them all to like show up at a big parking lot. And, everybody goes down and tries a bunch of different food trucks. The lines are usually crazy, but the food
yes.
is great.
I've never had food off of a food truck. And I think it might be just the way Charlotte is designed, because if you're probably downtown, you probably get the food trucks, but we're not like downtown. And
right.
So it's one of those things where, you know, cause even Food Network have like food truck wars and all that stuff. So
yeah.
A lot of people say that sometimes that's some of the best food you can eat.
Yeah. And I think it's because, you know, it's very competitive, and also like, you know, you're in this tiny space and you can really only cook a couple of things. And so, you know, you're just, you're not trying to get 17 dishes right. You're just trying to get one or two dishes right.
That's
and,
true.
And you have to practice them day after day after day, you know, and feed them to 200 people who are rushing up to your truck. And, you know, if you can't get good at what you're cooking under those conditions, you're going to be out of business in weeks.
That's true, too. And you're most likely doing lunch crowds. So you got to be
yep.
quick. You got to be fast. You have to, you know, they probably have it down to a science where they're serving people within, you know, a few minutes of the order. Even if they cook it fresh, you're probably still getting your food within a few minutes of your order.
Yep.
Cool. What is your favorite food to eat?
Probably, you know, the way I answer this these days, which is maybe not a very satisfying answer, is like any kind of spicy noodles with vegetables and meat.
Pad
Thai from Thailand or yakisoba from Japan or, stir fried udon from Japan, there's a great stir fried rice noodle dish from Malaysia. I don't care. Give me any one of these and I will be delighted.
Yes. And for me, mine is pizza. And I know that sounds plain Jane.
That's probably number two for me.
But I like pizza. And have you ever had breakfast pizza?
How do you make your breakfast pizza? I think I've had a breakfast pizza, but I know there's a lot of different variations.
And it wasn't one that I made. It was one okay. we actually went to a restaurant for brunch. And I happened to look on the menu, and they said a breakfast pizza. And I love pizza any type of way. So sure. I said, I'm going to try it. And what it is, it was like they handed the dough, and they baked it. But across there, it used like a tomato base. And they had like you could do like over medium or over easy eggs. But I had my eggs scrambled, and they had like mushrooms and onions and all that stuff with the egg on the top. It was delicious.
That sounds great. Yes. I've had a pizza that's baked with like a fried egg in the middle. They just like crack an egg on the pizza and bake it. And then the runny egg kind of runs over the pizza when you're eating it. I think that is terrific.
Yes. Okay. So pizza's my most favorite thing in the world. What is your favorite thing to drink? Alcohol, non-alcoholic, or both?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I'm from the Northwest, so I do love beer. I think pretty much everyone here does. And I like a lot of the local craft beers. And, you know, other than that, this is like the most boring answer, but, I am really a water drinker. And, you know, I like ice water. I will drink many glasses of it a day. I'm not one of those people who has to remind myself to drink water because, you know, I get really thirsty. I want a tall glass of water. It's my favorite thing to drink with meals. You know, having said that, I like ginger ale a lot. You know, whenever I'm on a plane, I always get ginger ale. For some reason, to me, ginger ale just tastes better on a plane, and they'll usually give you a squeeze of lime to go in it.
And it's probably because you're in the air and they want to be fancy. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and it's free, you know, one of the few things left that you don't have to pay extra
Ain't
for.
Ain't that the truth? Eventually, yep. They're going to charge you for just showing up.
When they start charging me for ginger ale, that's when I'm going to be like, you know, going online saying like, can you believe what these people are doing to me?
They've gone too far.
Yeah, like $4 for ginger ale. This is an outrage. For now, it's still free as far as I know. And so that's my favorite, like, up-in-the-air drink.
What is your favorite food that you stash from everybody? Like, you know how you have that one thing that you get and you're like, I would tell you, but I just love it too much to share, so I'm going to stash just and eat it up on my own.
Oh yes, I have plenty of guilty pleasures. Iris, my daughter, will sometimes find a wrapper in my pocket and say, you know, Dad, you know, why didn't you share this with me? And I think most often it is probably a peanut butter Twix.
Yes, Mm-hmm.
They redid them a few years ago. Now they're called PB Twix, and they've got the chocolate cookie and the layer of peanut butter, and then the milk chocolate on the outside. I love candy bars.
Yes, my favorite is peanut M&Ms.
Oh, yes.
Well, when I was a little kid, I would save my money up, and you know how to have like the 5-pound big bag? I would buy those and like not share them with anybody. And every now and then, you know, like I said, when you get older, you have to watch, you know, your sugar intake and all that stuff. I'll buy it, but see, I'll slowly eat it now, you know, and I like to take my candy and actually freeze it. I actually freeze all my candy. And like,
have you ever had frozen Charleston Chew?
What is a Charleston Chew?
Charleston Chew, you don't see them much anymore. It's one of these candies that's kind of disappearing. But it was like really long, sort of like a Three Musketeers. I'll bet a Three Musketeers okay. would work for this too. Like, you know, it just airy nougat and milk chocolate. And when you freeze it, it like gets solid as a rock and sort of like toffee texture. And like it breaks apart in your mouth and then starts to thaw and get chewy. Really good stuff. Cool. I would try it with a Three Musketeers. I'll bet it's great.
Oh, that sounds delicious. And my final question for you, what is the worst thing you ever ate?
Oh boy, the worst thing I ever ate. I probably have like, you know, blocked it, stuffed it somewhere way down in my brain where it's going to come back as nightmares. You know, I used to be a food critic, like a restaurant critic, for the newspaper. And so, you know, I got to eat a lot of great stuff. But you know, would also have to try, you know, if it was put in front of me, I had to eat it.
Yes.
And, You know, I remember there were some bad experiences. Like one time I went to this restaurant and there was this beef stew that they had put like an enormous amount of dried rosemary in it to where like you couldn't taste anything else and it tasted like medicine. And you know, I can remember exactly what that first bite was like.
Oh,
and
terrible.
You know, just my whole face kind of turned into a prune, you know, as soon as I had that first taste. And, I hope I never encounter that again.
Oh, rosemary is really that's strong. Like you don't have to use a lot of it.
Yeah. It's one of the strongest herbs, right?
Yes. What did they use it like? Salt, pepper?
Yeah, I don't know what went wrong in the kitchen or whether they made a mistake or whether they thought it was good, but it was crazy.
Wow. That right there, that doesn't sound like a pleasant experience. Yes. If I give it to you and your face kind of frowns up like you smelt something that didn't smell too good, obviously, I don't think my meal tasted too good.
Yeah, no, I'm glad it didn't happen like, you know, at someone's house. I would have felt really bad about it.
Yes.
No. It was just at a mediocre restaurant. So.
Yes, and you give it to the dog, and then they wonder, what's wrong with the dog? You know, did you kind of slip the dog the food? And, you know, that's what most people do in those particular... That's if they have animals. Now, if they don't, you kind of have to find your way to the trash can.
Yep.
Quickly.
Or, like, you know, wear pants with big pockets. You know, maybe line your pockets with plastic just in case.
Just in case. Or another good one, the napkin. The napkin escape is a good one. Cover it up and then run quickly to the trash can.
Yeah, and then sometimes, you know, you have to like, design, you move the food around on your plate so it looks like you ate more than you actually did.
Yes.
You know, I think I got good at this when I was a kid because I was a picky eater, but it's still, the need still comes up sometimes.
For me, I was never a picky eater as a kid, and my mother always said, and even to today, you know, old school, they were like, Mikey, Hilly, anything.
Yep.
And that literally was me as a kid. My mother, and even to today, she says, Karen, I loved you. She say, anything I put in front of you, no questions asked. She say, you ate it. And she say, if you say that you don't like it, she say, it's something wrong. She say, because you eat just about everything. And I do, even to today, I am open to all kinds and types of food that most people are like, ooh, that's nasty, or ew, that's this. And like, I was just introduced to bison burger not too long ago.
Oh, that sounds good.
And I shed a tear because I was like, where has this been all my life? Why didn't you people tell me that there was such thing as bison meat? I was just confused. It was the best thing ever. And the same thing with, like chops. I've had pork chops, but recently I had lamb chops.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, they melt in your mouth like butter.
I love lamb chops. I wish they weren't so expensive.
Aren't they expensive though?
Yes.
They're very, very expensive. And we actually got them on sale. We have like a higher chain grocery store called Harris Teeter, which is probably one of the few places that actually sell high quality lamb. I think they actually kill the lamb in the back and bring their food out. Like, that's how fresh it is. You're like, okay, this cow was almost still mooing, but at least I know that I'm not getting, if I'm paying, you know, $21.99 a pound, I don't want halfway meat. So it's one of those things where my husband got some, and what's so funny with me is that he didn't tell me it was lamb chops. So, I was eating it. I said, oh, this is the best pork chops I ever had in my life. He was like, they would be if they were pork chops, they're lamb chops. I was like, well, they got a bone in it and it's shaped like a chop. I just show up to eat, son. That's what I told him. I just come to the table with a knife and a fork and I'm just ready to go.
Yeah. I'm like you now. I will eat anything.
So I thank you for spending time with me. I thank you for opening up to my audience. You've been a great guest. I'm excited. And me and Roger look forward to having you on our regular show with your host, Molly. And could you tell people how to contact you and how to get in touch with you and about your podcast, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find Spilled Milk. We're on iTunes. Just search for Spilled Milk. Or we're at spilledmilkpodcast.com. And if you go to that website, all the contact information is there. And my you can find my new book, Pretty Good Number One, on Amazon or at prettygoodnumberone.com.
Thank you very much, sweet. This has
been
exciting.
Thank you so much. This has been so much fun. I don't want it to end. If you ever come to the Northwest, you know, give me a call. We will meet up for a meal of something adventurous, maybe from a truck.
I would love to. And it's one of those things where I would like to go on longer, but I was like, okay, we told him between, you know, 30 to 45 minutes. I was like, I didn't want to, you know, cause I was like, man, I was like, he's so good. We could talk for an hour and a half.
Thank you so much. No, I really, this was a lot of fun.
I thank you, sweetie. And I know it's early in the morning, so eat breakfast, take a nap, eat brunch, have a good time, and we will
be gonna do all three of those things. Oh, that sounds great.
Yes. And to put it like this, you can actually do it in order, do it out of order. It doesn't matter. You guys have a good time. And like I said, hopefully, we will definitely get back in touch with you by being on our show. I listen to your show. It has me laughing at my desk in the morning. And I thank you for checking our show out too.
Oh, well, I really appreciate that. Yeah, your show is hilarious. I can't wait to listen to more.
Yes, and I thank you. And, sweetie, you have a good day. And I
thank you
for spending time with me, sweetie. You have a good one.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.